We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
From the Rocket Mortgage Studios, when you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It is Maggie and Perloff. We're hanging out with you on this Tuesday. You want to get in touch with the show? It's easy. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Football has been the big topic today, and we're going to continue that trend. Literally, we're going to talk about teams and things that are trending up and down.
Wow, that is a radical radio segment. So let me get this
Thank
right.
Thank you.
The subject is trending up or trending down?
Yes. That,
we're not even going to dress it up with like some fancy saying?
Oh, no, we're going to dress it up, but not with a fancy saying. We're going to do some football stuff. We're going to do some other stuff as well. Without further ado, let's start talking about a team that yesterday, a little bit clunky here. We first got the report that they were asking to interview new general managers and maybe put out some feelers for coaches when they had not yet parted ways with their current general manager. Hate when that happens.
Never a good sign when you see your job being posted elsewhere.
Yes, on LinkedIn. They botched the dismount there, and that's the Las Vegas Raiders, where yesterday it leaked out that they were planning to interview someone in the Patriots front office, and Mike Mayock had not been fired yet. So what happened? About an hour later, here comes the canned statement. Mike Mayock has been fired. So he's been let go after 3 years where the first round picks were pretty bad, but the depth on the team, and they do have some exciting young players. We're wondering if they're trending up or down. I think the Raiders are actually trending up.
This really? Is the way.
Yes. Thank you. What's that from? The Mandalorian, I've been told.
Yeah. Let me guess, because you never watched Mandalorian.
I told you, I watched the first three Star Wars, the original ones from the 70s.
Do you even know who Baby Yoda is?
I'm cool. Yeah, I do know Baby Yoda.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if knowing the Mandalorian makes you cool, by the way. I'm not sure you want to walk into a bar and use that as your as your inline. Hey, what do you think of the Mandalorian? Did you see that? How cute Baby Yoda is? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. The Raiders. Trending up, in my opinion, for a couple reasons. One, right now, the Las Vegas favorite to be in Las Vegas is Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
So if they end up landing the Michigan coach, we know that obviously his turnarounds have been quick, you know, especially on the NFL level. He gets there and immediately you start to see him paying dividends. So I would say that means they're trending up. I think Vegas is an attractive place to be. So I think they're going to get a really good general manager, and you still have a year left of Derek Carr. So that's obviously a positive. You have a bridge quarterback. You have a quarterback who has value if you want to trade him. There's a lot of things to like about the Raiders.
Our producer, Mike, who's an even bigger Star Wars nerd than me,
yeah.
In fact, generally a bigger nerd than me, said it's called The Child, not Baby Yoda.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Probably,
and he has a real name, too. What's his real name? Like Gergray or something? What is it? Gergon? I don't know.
Suddenly
anyway.
He can't find his microphone.
Yeah. Anyway,
convenient.
We're not going to break the... Grogu. So we're not going to break down the Mandalorian here. That we'll save that for a later segment. How can you have the Raiders trending up? First of all, let's start with their division. They're in the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and what if Denver got Aaron Rodgers just to add to insult to injury? That's an impossible situation. They've been hovering around 500. Yeah, they've had a couple good years mixed in here and there. All these bad draft picks in the first round, they have to pay a price over the time. Look at these guys. Alex Leatherwood last year, bust. Damon Arnett in 2020, big bust. Henry Ruggs, he was a good player. Unfortunate what happened to him, but he's gone. You go through, Cleveland Farrell was a number four overall pick out of Clemson. That didn't work out. I could go down this list forever. Like, you need those first round picks to hit, and I don't think they're committed to Derek Carr. It's almost like they don't know what they're doing with Derek Carr. To me, that's not a trending up. That's a trending at best sideways, but I say trending down, and it's also a matter of their competition.
What a bunch of spineless losers.
All right. Next team up is the Seattle Seahawks. We had Russell Wilson on the Manning cast last night, and we'll get a little bit more into what we learned about Dwayne The Rock Johnson in that Manning cast. But Russell Wilson on the Manning cast, are the Seahawks trending up or down? You go first.
Seahawks are trending down. I don't think Russell Wilson wants to be
there. I'm joking. It sucks.
Wait, what's that from? Cobra. Oh, these are from Cobra Kai, my Netflix show.
Oh, play
I
it
thought
again?
It was.
Hey, sure.
Thanks.
I'm joking. It sucks.
So there's all this funny interplay between Johnny and the bad guy played by Bill Zabka.
You don't have to explain Karate Kid to me. I got it.
Well, there's a lot you've missed. You've missed a lot, but you're not caught up on Cobra Kai. Again, for a later segment. So where were we? Oh, yeah, the Seahawks. So I don't think Russell Wilson wants to be there. There's a reason he doesn't want to be there. What are you building with this team? That great defense is gone. Bobby Wagner can't play till he's 100. The offense has been dormant. I know you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the outside, but their whole philosophy is basically boring under Pete Carroll. I don't care what the skill players are. There's nothing to be excited about here. I think Russell should want to get out because they're not winning. And again, they're in another tough division. Get out of there, trending down.
I will agree. I think the Seahawks are also trending down.
Expect disappointment and you will never get disappointed.
Okay, that's from Spider-Man No Way Home, which I saw this weekend. Go ahead.
Okay, well, get your review at some other later date. I'm just going to add a little to that because you covered all the ground here with the Seahawks. They also don't have a first-round pick because they traded to the Jets for Jamal Adams. All right, I think we can move on. Trending up or down, here's some news. Daniel Radcliffe, a.k.a. Harry Potter, is going to be starring in a movie where he plays Weird Al Yankovic. That's a trending up for me, baby.
This is the way.
Anything Weird Al just goes back to a sweet spot in my childhood that is, like, unassailable. It's in a warm, fuzzy place here with Weird Al and his song parodies, and I cannot wait to see what Harry Potter brings to the table.
Okay, we're in the same boat on Weird Al. Weird Al is the best. That's a given. I am trending down. I do not understand this casting at all. We talked about Kevin James playing Sean Payton.
Yeah.
That's a lot closer than Harry Potter playing Weird Al. They have nothing in common. Daniel Radcliffe's about 5'2". He's from England. He doesn't have a big frizzy hair. How is he going to play Weird Al? You need somebody from Sheboygan, Wisconsin to play Weird Al, not this Shakespearean actor from England. I don't get it.
What a bunch of spineless losers.
Of all the movies that you've been in,
yeah.
All those Sandler flicks.
Four, but yes.
You don't think that the power of production here, get a good wig, guy can speak, he's an actor, man. He can do the Weird Al accent. And then all of a sudden he's getting medieval on your hiney.
Do you really think that he can pull off songs like Eat It and Like a Sturgeon the way Weird Al did? Can he really get, is he going to go method
Amish
on that?
Amish Paradise? Yeah, yes.
Is Daniel Radcliffe going to go method and pretend he's Weird Al all the time? No.
That would be something. I'd want to watch the documentary about the making of the movie in that case. All right, well, we're going to agree to disagree. The next one is something called Profi. Man, TikTok is just like, it's to thank you and also bleh all at the same time. It starts these trends. This one's called Profi. It's mixing iced coffee with protein shakes and espresso shots. Yeah, trending down for me.
Hey, sure.
Thanks.
I'm joking. It sucks.
We're already basically spinning off this earth with caffeine, right? And I'm an offender, right? I'm a coffee drinker. I get it. But do we really need people all jacked up on coffee with the protein shake, with the espresso? Like, you might as well just put whatever Barry Bonds was taking in there, too. I mean, just go full throttle.
Okay. I am trending big up on this. I can't get enough caffeine in my system. This sounds, first of all, delicious. Chocolate protein shake with, I make them at home and I add coffee. This is incredible. And think we need to get this. First of all, you're chugging energy water over there that says like something healthy. Energy, I don't even know what energy water is.
Hey, you weren't supposed to tell anybody that.
Yeah, I asked you what the ingredients were and you said, all goodness. You're addicted to those. We might as well have like the old baseball stadiums where there's a big thing of greenies, like uppers in the middle. Basically, yeah, our whole society is addicted to this stuff. I'm getting on TikTok right after the show and getting a recipe. If I bring one of those in tomorrow, Maggie, you're saying you're not going to want to sip.
No, because I've got nothing. The protein shake is the part that doesn't do it for me. Give me the coffee and the chocolate and the espresso shots, sure. But what am I doing with a protein shake? I haven't exercised since the 90s.
Do you know anything about protein? Protein shake is a cover. It's basically a milkshake. Anytime you see a smoothie or a protein shake, that's just a way to eat lots of sugar and pretend that you're being healthy. Don't worry about that part.
Awesome trend on TikTok, y'all. Keep it up. The final football team that's trending, we'll go with the Dallas Cowboys. Trending up or trending down. Man, this is a tough one. think they're trending down.
Expect disappointment and you will never get disappointed.
And I was one of those people who was attracted to the shiny objects, but you know, the more I think about this loss on Sunday, and it was bad and it got tons of attention because of the final play. But, you know, Dak Prescott was just not good in this game. You know, it seemed like he had not thrown to his receivers in weeks. They were all not on the same page. The offensive line didn't help him. I'll grant you that. And that is a highly paid unit that should have been a lot better in that game. But there's just so much where they didn't feel complimentary at all. I know they've been a good offense and they've been a good defense, but together it didn't add up to a whole heck of a lot. The only time they were able to get back into the game is when literally San Francisco lost two of its best defenders and they could finally, you know, figure some things out.
Wait, are you
really tough?
And but are you Mike judging McCarthy, on one game though?
No, it's mostly
it's got to be the season, right?
It's mostly about McCarthy, and there's another part of this too, which is just the Jerry-ness of it.
Yeah.
You know, when they pan, the camera pans on him at Jerry World, there was a moment where it flashed through my mind. I'm like, does he even care who wins this game? This place is full. He's already got a franchise that he's taken to a height that no one probably thought. If he sold that today, he'd get $6 billion. It's one of the most profitable franchises. They talk a lot about wanting to win. And look, granted, they're spending money. They're putting pieces on the field. But I had that thought, when he's sitting in that luxury suite, does he actually care if this team wins the game? I don't know.
He's already in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to build on that theme, and I'm actually going to go trending sideways. Is that allowed?
I don't. You have any?
Yeah, sure. Mike give us the why not. So nothing's changing in Dallas. Jerry Jones is the owner. I don't care who your coach is. I don't care who your quarterback is. Don't you notice that everything is the same, whether it's Tony Romo or Dak Prescott? High expectations, overcovered, does not have a team built to go deep in the playoffs, has a team that can make the playoffs. This is all Jerry's style. I agree with you. It's all flash. Yeah, it's great. He's going to fill that stadium. It's going to be beautiful. He's going to basically run the league. He's a de facto commissioner, but it's not going to make a deep playoff run. I don't think they win a Super Bowl with him there.
Okay, and our final trending. If you were watching the game last night, they played the trailer for the new movie.
Marvel movie.
I was 50-50 on Marvel or DC, and I didn't want to do it.
I'm sorry, series, not movie. I'm being told it's a series.
Series, whatever. Moon Knight.
So,
Moon Knight.
This is more my genre.
Yeah,
here.
Why don't you take this one?
So, Oscar Isaac, who's the most awesome actor ever.
I do like him a lot.
Yeah, he happens to be in a Star Wars movie, but he's great. I think he's won Oscars or been nominated. They show this commercial, and it starts off with this guy who can't sleep, and it says, by Marvel Movies. And I'm like, well, for the first 90% of the commercial, he's not a superhero. He's just a guy with some personal issues.
And that related to you on a deeper level?
Like, he's super anxious in New York. He can't handle like his advertising job. I'm like, why is this even a superhero? What's going on? And then
they have to stop tapping your phone for material.
Then towards the end, something happens, and you see this guy beating another guy to a pulp. And then he comes out in the superhero uniform, and he's the Moon Knight, which I've never heard of. Have you ever heard of a comic book called The Moon Knight?
No, but you're asking the wrong person. What I thought was bizarre about that trailer is you actually had me the whole time. I was like, this is cool. I do love Oscar Isaac. It seems like he's really disturbed. All right, I can get into that. And then when they revealed the costume, like, oh, my God, it looks like he was wearing a poncho from Eileen Fisher. I mean, what's going on?
Wow.
That's probably not going to land with this audience. But you know what I mean? He looked like he was just... It looked bizarre to me. Is he supposed to be a mummy?
I don't know. Yeah, he does channel an Egyptian sun god. I did read the Wikipedia write-up of this. But okay. Yeah, I have no idea. Like, I do like Marvel movies, but I kind of like stop after like the Avengers. Like I know Thor and I know Spider-Man and I know the Hulk.
Right.
This is way too deep for me.
This is what it felt like to me. We could probably fade the music out, but thank you. Bang up job. Remember in Jaws, one of the scariest movies ever made, when you're so scared of the shark, you're so scared. And then finally at the end, you see the shark come out of the water and you're like, oh, it's still the 70s. Like, this is just some type of, this is a piece of tin
what?
That came up over the water. That's what I felt about the Moon night.
You were scared when Jaws came out of the water, when Roy Snyder's leaning over with the bait and all of a sudden that gigantic shark comes out of the water?
No, but the thing about Jaws is in your mind is the scariest part. When it's just like the floating things on top of the water and they're going so fast and he's pulling people under, that's what's scary about Jaws. When you actually see the shark, it's not that scary because it's still like a production piece in a movie, and it never will live up to what your mind can produce.
I totally see what you're saying, but I was actually terrified by the shark.
Oh.
Go on. So you're saying the Moon Knight actually
once
seeing
I saw
the,
the costume, I was like, oh, I don't want to see this anymore.
You know,
but lead up to it was great.
I'm looking at it on the internet. It's not a bad costume. It's like kind of like a, it's sort of like a big gray. It kind of looks like a Nike shoe wrapped around a guy.
Ooh.
I don't know. Like, where's Marvel going to go? Marvel has to get into these like urban psychological thrillers. I'm going to give it a shot. There's no way you're going to watch this.
They had me until I saw the costume. That's the bottom line.
Did you watch the Hawkeye series? Did you watch the series with Tom Hiddleston, played Loki? Have you watched any of these series on Disney?
No.
They're wildly popular. Don't be like, oh, I'm too cool for sci-fi.
I'm not. I actually do like sci-fi. I got into Thrones. I got into some other things. I'm a case-by-case basis person. And I do have Disney Plus.
It sounds like you might draw a line at outer space. A little bit of a line.
No, the outer space just makes me anxious. The movie with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock when they go to outer space.
Yeah.
Whatever that was called, Gravity.
Oh, and George Clooney is like the cool guy out in space?
Yeah, he's super cool. He's like way too cool for space.
I know.
I was gripping the sides of the movie theater like chair. I couldn't breathe.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
Good. See, yeah, the things I'm most afraid of, I can't see sharks. They freak me out.
Yeah.
It's my worst nightmare. Those are the movies. Anything in the water, like that one, we're talking about Jaws, where the couple goes scuba diving and the boat leaves them and they're stuck open water.
Oh,
to me, that is the scariest movie.
So scary. All right, now that we've given you all of our fears, 855-212-4CBS, you can now exploit them any way you wish.
I have many, many, many more. How much time do we have?
Well, coming up next, well, not Perloff's fears, but there are roads that are leading to a messy ending with one superstar trio. We're going to tell you what's going on. All of that comes your way in just a little bit. It is Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio and Sirius XM Channel 158.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, I'm Andrew Perloff. She's Maggie Gray. You can follow us on Twitter, at Maggie and Pearl. I'm at Andrew Perloff. She's at Maggie Gray. You know, Maggie, I have shown a lot of restraint.
Mm.
Every day I come in here and somebody asks me about Ben Simmons. I'm a Sixers fan.
Yeah.
And it's not really going anywhere.
You.
There's like a lot of headlines about Ben Simmons, but we haven't brought it up because there's been nothing concrete. And I don't know if anything concrete is coming up. There was another one the other day that they're working on something.
No, the latest is Ramona Shelburne had yesterday that Ben Simmons would be fine sitting out the rest of the year.
Of course he would. And it sure seems that Daryl Morey would. But to me, the more interesting team right now is our Brooklyn Nets.
Our?
Well, I live in the shadow of the Barclays Center.
I know, but you're a 76ers fan. You can't do that. It
depends on how the teams are doing. I'm also. Did you know that I'm
wow.
also?
What a fraud!
I'm kind of a Milwaukee Bucks fan. Have you?
You're a fan of three teams in the Eastern Conference. You're violating every fan rule.
Well, I'll take the Sixers first, then I'll take the Nets or the Bucks.
Okay,
fine.
No.
Fine.
I'll be liberal on a lot of fan rules here because I try not to get so into the tribalism. But what you're saying is just blasphemy.
Well, I got to tell you, it's easy not to be a fan of the Sixers right now. Although Joel's been pretty good. It's easy not to be a fan of the Nets. I do not know where this thing is going with the Nets. Every day it seems like something else comes up. Kevin Durant with the MCL. James Harden has not been consistent all season. And last night, Kyrie Irving spoke to the press again about his part-time status. Let's hear it, because this did not make me feel good.
Kev's going to be okay. We're going to have to deal with that as his teammates. But in terms of where I am with my life outside of this, I stay rooted in my decision.
Do you think there's anything that would sway your decision?
Why do you keep asking me that?
Because that's what everybody wants to know.
Who's everybody?
There are millions of basketball fans out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Basketball fans.
But there are like they're forget basketball fans. There are millions.
Yeah, but this is like that's what I'm saying. You're bringing like my vaccination status into a basketball game, and it's like I live my life majority of the time when I'm away from this. So when I say I'm not getting vaccinated and I'm making a choice with my life, somehow it gets mixed into, well, what about basketball stuff? It's like, no, bro. So it feels a little disrespectful. Like, I'm not just a basketball player, bro. I'm not. Millions of fans, I appreciate all of it, but it's not just about the game.
Man. I mean, not surprising that Kyrie would say this is about more than basketball. And you know what? For him, like, probably good lesson for all of us, right? There is more to the story. There's more to life. There's more to life than your job, no matter what it is. And you got to find the things in life that make you happy, no doubt about it. There's another side of this that is saying you're getting paid a ton of money. This is a team with championship aspiration where the best player on the team is now going to be lost for 6 to 8 weeks. And this is something that could be rectified with, you know, from my vantage point, something very simple. You can get a shot that literally millions, billions of people in the world have gotten, and it's protected them. So if you're, you know, so why not do it? It's a complicated issue. But for me, the thing is about the Nets is this feels like it's shaping up more and more to be the greatest that never was. And we put a lot into this big three, and whether it was injuries or whether it's now been Kyrie, now we're getting reports that Mark Stein has said that there's been a lot of, you know, noise circulating league-wide, this is like the quote, about Harden's reported openness to relocation this summer. So now it means like James Harden, it may not be all in. He did not sign an extension last year when Kevin Durant did, so he is owed $47.4 million next year if he opts in, which I'd probably do. Or he might be looking for a long-term deal, some kind of sign-and-trade with Brooklyn. You know, Perloff, so much ink has been spilled. A lot of talk radio, a lot of sports fans have been wondering about this big three, and I just question whether they're ever going to get to the finish line here and even make it to a finals, let alone win one.
So I've questioned it from the get-go. It reminded me, and everyone's shooting me down, when the Nets went all out, got Deron Williams, who was an all-star point guard at the time. Mm-hmm. They got Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett from the Celtics. Now everyone's like, well, those guys were past their prime. I got to tell you, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, they're getting up there.
A lot of miles.
Kevin Durant's 33, and you know he's got
an excellent season, though. He's not the problem. He's out
with an MCL.
Yes.
And he's been out with other things, too. And when you put 45 minutes on him and he has to carry the team, I don't know if he can do that anymore physically. He can't hold up. Kyrie Irving, mentally, he's 40. He's not engaged in the game. And I don't like this stance. Like,
wait, did you say mentally he's 40? Like,
yeah,
that's
like
old?
He's like ready to retire in his mind.
Oh.
As a player.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I know what you mean. Hold on.
He's not engaged like a 20-something basketball player. And he's like, oh, those are just fans. Where do you think you got that $300 million from? Because you're so good at basketball? It's because fans love the game. I always found that storyline by him very insulting and also contradicted to who he is as a person because he obviously cares about people. So, like, I hate when he says this specific thing. But the point is, this is a mess.
Yeah.
This is a mess, and everyone's expecting that they're all going to play all these games together. Do we have any evidence that they're ever going to be on the court at the same time in the playoffs?
No, we don't, because last year, obviously, Kyrie got hurt and Harden came back early because he was already dealing with an issue, and they still were one Kevin Durant size 14 shoe, you know, away from the Eastern Conference, you know, from beating the Bucks. So here's the thing about it. This Harden report, and again, I hate source guessing here, but this Harden report might not be coming from Harden's camp.
Where do you think
there's a love affair?
Oh.
That Daryl Morey has had with James Harden. And by the way, there is a deep regret, I believe, that Morey didn't go all in to get James Harden last year when he was playing his way out of Houston.
Right, and he could have given up Ben Simmons in that deal, most likely.
Didn't do it, and man, will that have solved a lot of problems. So there's a few different parties here outside of the Nets who would have a vested interest in muddying the waters as much as possible, and doing it on the same week when your all-star and one of the best players of all time, Kevin Durant, is going to be out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. This is probably a good time to muddy the water. Then you add in Kyrie, and you know that he's going to be asked these questions, and that makes it even muddier. So, you know, this is a lot here for Sean Marks and Steve Nash. And listen, Steve Nash himself understands what it's like to be part of a big three that never was. When he went to the LA Lakers, I'll never forget that Sports Illustrated cover with him and Dwight Howard on it. This is going to be fun. And it was nothing because Nash's back gave out and Dwight Howard ended up going to Houston.
Yeah, and Dwight Howard was never healthy either. Remember, Dwight Howard was coming off surgery and that was a mess. Ray James Harden, say he did go to Philadelphia. How is that going to work with Joel Embiid? Harden's shooting percentage, by the way, this year is down 41% from the field from 47 last year, 34% from three, which is pretty much his lowest of his career. He's not playing well. And that's on
a
team.
He's turned it on a little bit lately.
Yeah, I know. But honestly, that style doesn't necessarily fit with other superstars. And he hasn't proven. Everyone says this is the best offensive trio we've ever seen. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. But did the three of them really make each other that much better? Especially if they don't have time to form chemistry. Like the Golden State Warriors. Like their big three. Wow. They're just like a beautiful team. They're like a symphony to watch them. I don't understand. Like everyone assumes that these Nets pieces are going to come together at the right time and just form this magical team. Isn't there more than that? Isn't there teamwork? Isn't there gelling? And it just strikes me as like we're way too optimistic that the Nets are going to win a title.
Well, it just feels like every time things even start to break a little bit in their favor, something happens.
Yep.
So even now with Kyrie, he's just playing the road games, but he seems like he's playing well. And now you finally get the three together and boom, here comes the knee sprain. And now he's going to be out. And you think 6 to 8 weeks, I mean, you know, if they keep playing and the rest of the guys keep holding the fort in the way that they are, what makes you think he's going to even come back in 2 months? You know, right now they are second in the East. No, I'm sorry, third. Miami passed them, I think, last night. They're 27-16. They're a half game out of first. Like, they're right there. And again, I don't think home court advantage may not necessarily help this Brooklyn Nets team. If Kyrie Irving can't play the home games, what good is a game seven in your home floor going to do?
Yeah, I'm not scared of them at all. The thing is, like, the Sixers are obviously flawed. I think the Bucks, let's just say the Bucks are the favorite, regardless of the standing. I know
the Bulls,
but don't you think the Bucks are the clear favorite, the defending champs?
Yes.
So here's a question. If the Nets, if you did have the big three and they hadn't really played and they all just sort of came together and you had to pick that series, not knowing where the Bucks are status wise, who's the favorite? I think you want to go Nets.
I do. And it's mostly because, though, I think that there's something about the difficulty in repeating. You know, obviously we see teams do it, no doubt, but there are dynasties. But I think that's really difficult to do. And so, but the Nets just may end up running out of time. And especially with these injuries now. The James Harden stuff, I'm going to wait till there's a little more smoke around that before that's actually a problem to me.
Man, are the Nets one of those teams where they're just going to provide content and just keep going? Like, nothing's ever going to work for them. We're always going to talk about them. Or is this a real team? I don't know. It feels like NBA at this point, while the NFL's still going on, to me, it's just like Lakers and Nets. Nobody really wants to.
Well, the Lakers have been providing plenty of stuff.
Yeah, it's like nobody wants to talk about the Bulls being good. Nobody wants to talk about the Hawks had a great game on MLK Day. That was exciting. But it's interesting to me that it's like we have to talk about these big star-driven teams, and they're like the messiest teams right now.
It is interesting. Coming up in just a little bit, TV's going to join us in just a moment. Lucky them. Get to see the beautiful faces of Maggie and Perloff. So CBS Sports Network in just a little bit. CBS Sports Radio, of course, Sirius XM, channel 158. Who stole the show in last night's Rams-Cardinals game? Here's a hint. They weren't actually playing in the game. We'll get to that, but here's a CBS Sports update with Rich Ackerman.
This weekend on CBS, the NFL Divisional Round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live begins Saturday at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, when Joe Burrow and the Red Hot Bengals head to Tennessee for a battle with the top-seeded Titans. Then on Sunday at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, it's a highly anticipated rematch when Josh Allen and the unstoppable Bills offense take on the equally unstoppable Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Get set for both games with the NFL today. The NFL Divisional Round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live this weekend, only on CBS. We are Maggie and Perloff. And as I said earlier in the show, thank God for the Manning cast last night because that game was tough to watch.
Yeah, that was a clunker. Cardinals didn't really show up to play. And so, yeah, we had the Mannings and their final Manning cast of the year. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to collect on this bet that we made.
Wait, I don't remember this bet. Is there any record of this bet?
Well, yesterday on the show, so we'll have that audio, but we bet $100,000 that the Mannings would not ask Russell Wilson about his future in Seattle.
$100,000?
You don't remember this?
I remember it was
like
sort of
like $5, and you were like, no, $100,000. I was like, geez,
lunch. I don't really usually do $100,000 bets. I'm more like a lunch, maybe a dinner.
These days.
Well, I owe you something because they sure didn't.
No, they didn't. And this is a little maybe like behind the scenes Johnny journalism stuff for a second. So just forgive us because Perloff and I are friends because we met at Sports Illustrated. So we come from this like capital J journalism background. And I don't think anybody is expecting the Manning cast to be, you know, Walter Cronkite. But it turns out that there was some kind of agreement beforehand that they were not going to ask Russell Wilson about his future in Seattle. And the journalist in me is just so disappointed with the Mannings. Like, how could you? Guys, it's not your job to be, like, investigative journalists. I get that. But the public is very interested in what Russell Wilson is going to be doing. Last year, when he went on your former show, Dan Patrick's show, and said that he was, I don't remember how he put it.
He was dissatisfied with the state of the Seahawks in so many words.
There was, that caught fire. And it was like one of the biggest stories of the offseason. It happened on the Dan Patrick Show. And the public, you know, wants to know that. And by the way, Russell wanted to get that out because you're not just going to like accidentally say that to Dan Patrick.
No, he definitely did. He had been watching Tom Brady win the Super Bowl. He's like, well, why can't I bring in my guys? But this is such a different situation. You think the Mannings are going to go all journalists? You think they're going to ask Roger Goodell about head injuries? You think they're going to ask Aaron Rodgers? They didn't ask Aaron Rodgers where he's going, as far as I remember.
No, they
didn't. So they're not going to do this. You knew that. And I should have known that, too. And I took the bet like an idiot.
I know. And that's $100,000 out of your pocket, which is a shame for you. But I guess, like, you're the Mannings. What do you have to lose here? You only have to gain. And you can find a way to say it in so many words. But you could tell, if you were watching last night, Russell Wilson actually kind of, like, took over that segment. Mm. He came in. He was, like, super chatty. He was really high energy. And every time there was even a one-second lull in the conversation, he was the one who was directing questions to Peyton and to Eli. So I'm wondering if he actually was guarding against the Mannings maybe, like, you know, violating their handshake agreement and actually starting to ask him something because he was deflecting big time.
A little bit nervous. That's really interesting. Yeah.
That was my read.
That's a very interesting read. To me, it's like that's kind of how Russell Wilson talks. You know, he says a lot of words but doesn't say anything. Mm. The other thing, too, is a lot of people noted, man, he's going to be a good color analyst in TV when he's done. So maybe there was a little bit of tryout for that.
Well, everyone uses that now as, like, the wild card of gaining leverage. You know, like Aaron Rodgers went to go host Jeopardy. Like, anyone really thought he was going to walk away from the NFL to do Jeopardy for 6 months a year? Like, that was ridiculous, but he was able to use it as leverage. We talked about Sean Payton earlier in the show.
Yep.
Could he have a future in broadcasting? Can he use that as leverage? You know, John Gruden used it in the opposite way. He would use coaching as leverage for Monday night, you know, at times. So everyone could use it as something. I'm sure Russell Wilson could have a career in broadcasting if he wanted to tomorrow.
Well, there's two Russell Wilsons. There's a real Russell Wilson, then there's the Russell Wilson speak Russell Wilson, kind of like coach speak. So we saw it on the Dan Patrick Show. He'd been on the show forever, huge against the grain fan, going back to his Wisconsin days. I'm not making that up.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, so he used to watch a show in Madison, Wisconsin. So most of the time he would answer questions sort of this accelerated pace, and it was pure quarterback speak, would say nothing. Once in a while, he would slow down, and you could tell where he got out of that zone and answered something honestly. It's rare. That whole time, even though he's probably friends with the Mannings, he was in Russell Wilson, quarterback, CEO type.
I felt like I was being sold something, but I didn't know what.
Yeah, that's Russell Wilson. And, of course, he ended with Go Hawks, which he always does. So I think he successfully avoided that topic. Does he want out of, did you have any sense coming out of that? Does he want out of Seattle?
No, I mean, only because I don't exactly know what changed from last year. I know they have a new offensive coordinator that he signed off on.
Yeah, who did not work out great. Waldron, yeah.
No, but also, like, you know, because his thumb got injured, once they actually started running the ball more, they found more success. So I don't know if he's ever going to see eye to eye with Pete Carroll on that offensive philosophy.
Would you want to see him in a more wide open offense?
Sure.
I just thought Cliff Kingsbury was in big trouble. But just some sort of offensive coordinator. You mentioned Sean Payton earlier. Mm-hmm. Imagine Russell Wilson in New Orleans running that system. It'd be fun to see. I think his numbers would go way up. I don't know if he wins immediately. Also, what is there to build around in Seattle? I know Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, but other than that.
Yeah, I mean, you got a bit of a run game when Penny started to get going a little. Their offensive line is okay, I guess. I mean, that was his major gripe from last year, too, is that the offensive line wasn't good enough and the defense was injured.
Well, the defense, though, is nothing like the famous Seattle defense.
No.
And I know they brought in Jamal Adams, and he's a good player.
He got hurt.
Even if he didn't get hurt, I think scheme-wise, I don't really know if he's going to win games single-handedly. He can't cover.
The Jets lost plenty of games with Jamal here.
Yes.
In New York.
Right. Like, I mean, the guy has just not been winning.
But he's super talented. I mean, yeah. I don't want to just downplay it.
The Russell part, there were so many funny parts last night. Russell wasn't the funny part of the Manning cast.
No, he wasn't. The better parts of the Manning cast. Well, but to put a bow on that, I think that there's a lot to the timing of this with the reiteration that Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM and the head coach respectively, have just got basically brand spanking new contracts a year ago.
Right.
And they signed like 5-year deals. So I don't think those two are going anywhere. And I think there is something to the timing of then all of a sudden it leaking out that Russell Wilson be open for a trade.
Oh, yeah.
So
I don't think Russell Wilson wants to be with Pete Carroll.
No, I don't think. I think this is all by design. And I thought that was like pretty clear on the Manning cast that he was just in full Russell mode.
He was in full Russell mode. He is a pretty good color analyst, by the way.
Great talker.
Mean, that all these quarterbacks know exactly what's happening. It's interesting. I thought he knew a little more than Peyton and Eli. Is that fair to say?
He came in and stole the show. He really did. I'm sure Peyton and Eli will never have him back as a result of that. But other memorable moments from last night, and this is what really took the cake because the game was a laugher at this point. I mean, the whole fourth quarter, the Cardinals really couldn't get anything going in terms of like a big comeback. And I know Wilson kept saying, you know, a lot of game left, but a lot of ball game. I'm like, there's 4.5 minutes left to go. They're not coming back. But anyway. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, pretty good booking.
Not bad. Call an A+. I was right that he was pitching no fewer than two different products. Well, two different things. The XFL. He also had the tequila brand that was behind him. But that's not what got Twitter going last night and social media. It turns out when you're super rich like The Rock, you can buy the craziest stuff.
You got a T-Rex behind you? What is that? A dinosaur?
I got a T-Rex skull, yes. That's Stan. As a matter of fact, so Stan was the most complete T-Rex skull ever found by a paleontologist, and his name was Stan, so this T-Rex head was named after him. Pretty cool and badass, isn't it?
I like it. Very cool. I like it.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I was thinking about the, like, award-winning paleontologists, you know, across like, you know, all disciplines who may be watching a football game happen to flip on the Manning cast and there's like the prized possession that, you know, this paleontologist Stan was like dug up in South Dakota 30 years ago. It's like you fall to your knees and you're just like, thank God and the heavens part and the sun is shining right on the T-Rex skull. This is how it happens in my brain.
You've watched Raiders of the Lost Ark way too many times.
Maybe. A little Jurassic Park on top of it. And you just can't believe your life's work has been justified in this way. And that it ends up at The Rock's house.
What's wrong with that?
And he's like, pretty badass, huh?
And then
takes a sip of tequila.
That is the coolest place for Stan to end up. You think if Stan was alive, he wouldn't want to end up with The Rock? Now, there's a lot of different reports
out. Pet T-Rex?
Do you know how much this Tyrannosaurus Rex head cost?
I took a look. $31.8 million. Is that what you found?
If it's no one's really sure if it's the actual Stan. There was $31.8 million on auction, which is more than twice the amount of Sue, who before Stan, Sue was the most complete T-Rex yet found. Went for $8.3 million in 1997.
Man, women, we just can't. We're still climbing up, trying to break the glass ceiling.
Oh my gosh!
Even 65 million years ago.
I think
it's been quite a fight.
T-Rex, if I had to pick like one place for a T-Rex head to go, The Rock's house is number one, not the Smithsonian. I mean, nobody wants to be bored by another T-Rex head at the Natural History Museum or whatever.
No.
Rock's house is where it belongs, and I'm happy for Stan.
I want to quote Indiana Jones when I should say, it belongs in a museum. No, listen, he paid for it. It's just funny because it sent everyone like on a search, or at least me, about a little more about Stan. And it turns out, you know, that this was an anonymous bidder at, what was it, Sotheby's of London?
I think so, yeah.
The auction house. And I'm like, anonymous? Like, it's The Rock. The Rock doesn't do anything anonymously. Like, what? That was so, it's so contrast to who he is and his whole career. I mean, go to his Instagram, his whole life, or like feels like his whole life is out there for consumption. And then he puts it on the Manning cast. So you know he wants like, hey, ask me about my dinosaur skull. Would he really be the anonymous bidder at an auction?
Well, he has people, but also it could be a replica. There's a lot of reports that it's a $11,000 replica of Stan, which, by the way, I don't know what our budget is. I take a Stan replica in the studio. I don't know.
You want to go halves on a Stan replica?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if CBS has any Stan replicas around, but that'd be awesome. A giant, you know, it'd make us look like Raptor fans, but what if we had a huge T-Rex right here?
Maybe we can go around to the studio and just like outside in the newsroom and everyone can like, you know, put 10 bucks on it. We can all buy the head.
Yeah, but it's got to go right in here, right in between us. Just a huge Stan head. It worked for The Rock. What else stood out to you last night?
Well, that one was a big one. The other stuff about the Manning cast was we've gone all this way. We've come so far with all the technical glitches that the Manning cast has had all year, and yet Peyton gets caught in the final game.
Before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. I can't hear Never mind.
It was like all of a sudden everyone's like drunk uncle just ended up on the Manning cast.
Yeah, the best line was Eli goes, never mind. Eli is so much funnier than him. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Larry Fitzgerald was fine.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the takeaway was at the end when they talked about when they're going to get together again because it was the last game of the season. And what did Eli say? Like, let's FaceTime during the Super Bowl or something?
Oh, about when Peyton and Eli are going to see each other the next
time?
Yeah,
when they're two
famous
brothers.
Let's FaceTime next week.
Yeah, and Peyton's like, nah, I don't think so. I'm good. I don't know. I think you have a brother?
Yeah, I have a brother.
Do you talk? How often do you talk? Could you go 2 weeks without talking?
2 weeks would be the outer limit.
Really?
Yeah. And he lives in a different country, too, so it's not always super easy. But about 2 weeks would be the outer.
Wow, I felt like lengths. Peyton and Eli could go to next September, the first Monday night. Yeah. I feel like Peyton has no interest in checking in on Eli.
They don't actually come off as particularly close. No. Kevin Hart, I think, really exposed them, and it got a little awkward when he was a guest on the Manning cast a few weeks ago. And he was like, I know you guys aren't close because you're not sitting in the same room. I bet you're not even doing Thanksgiving together. And they both got really quiet, like, they're definitely not doing Thanksgiving together.
I could believe that. So Eli lives in New Jersey and Peyton lives in Denver. Why can't they just meet in New Orleans at Archie's house? What is going on here?
I don't know.
And where's Cooper playing all this? Because Cooper's in some of the commercials with him now, you know, sort of famous. He's a super fun guy. I love Cooper.
I think Cooper has to set the standard because he's the older sibling.
Yeah, I think Cooper's good friends with Peyton individually and Eli individually, but
where
I'm definitely
coming up with any of this.
I can read these things. I understand this. I have two brothers as well, and there's a lot of dynamics at play here. I don't think Peyton and Eli are really close friends.
Where are you in the hierarchy?
I'm Cooper. I'm Coop.
Oh, you're the oldest. So you set the tone.
But it's different. I am not a guy who got injured and had my football career ruined to watch my two little brothers win multiple Super Bowls. Well, it's a much different situation.
Well, you get over that, don't you?
I don't think so. I think Cooper, by the way, Cooper's an unbelievably jolly guy if you're ever around him, but he got a bad luck. That must be tough to be the older brother and watch your little brothers do that.
No, he's going to live vicariously through Arch, as are all of us.
Right.
When Arch starts his career and we get another, you know, 20 years of Mannings.
Where's Arch going? Give us the scoop right now before. Is he going to Ole Miss?
I don't know. Probably. Ole Miss, Tennessee. Does he have a choice?
Well, it's a family thing. Talking about like, so Eli went to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Peyton went to Tennessee. So I think if there's going to be a big choice, which uncle do I like more?
Well, and his grandfather went to Ole Miss. So the deck is stacked.
Meanwhile, it's reported he likes Texas and Alabama. So that has nothing to do with it.
Shocker. Just like everybody. Maggie and Perloff. We're hanging out with you on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Coming up, all four home teams are favorites in the divisional round. We're picking our upsets next. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.